Bible that have to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand, Jesus Christ is coming back. He went up into heaven, and the Bible says He shall so come in like manner. So He is coming back. I've told you before, when I got saved back in the 70s, you couldn't go a month without hearing a sermon on the second coming of Christ. They had prophecy conferences. Now we have leadership conferences. We've lost our vision of the second coming of Christ. We've turned to other things. And so we have been looking at the passages in the New Testament. Didn't even go to the Old Testament. The passages in the New Testament that deal with the second coming of Christ. This morning we're in Luke chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse 42, and we're actually only going to read down to verse 44 because we'll probably get only halfway through this lesson this morning. There's just too much here for us to try to fly through the whole thing. But Luke chapter 12, look in your word, in the Word of God, if you would, at Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give him their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, he will make him ruler over all that he hath." Now, you can tell the context of this verse is talking about the Lord when he cometh. Now, the Lord is giving a parable. Jesus is telling us a parable, giving us an example about a man, a steward, whose Lord or master is going to come back, and he wants to find things in order. He wants to see the steward has been faithful. Now, this passage is a difficult passage. Not difficult practically, but difficult prophetically. This passage is in Matthew chapter 24, which if you know your Bible and your New Testament, tells you that if it's in Matthew chapter 24, it's probably not talking about the rapture, but the revelation. Because Matthew's gospel was to the Jew. The Jew knew nothing about the rapture of the church, knew nothing about the church. The Jew is focusing on the coming of the Messiah. And so Matthew 24, this exact story is recorded with one slight difference in it, and we'll talk about that probably next Sunday. But so that tells us the context is probably not the days preceding the rapture, but the days preceding the revelation, the second coming of Christ to this earth. Now that means it's written to folks that are alive during the tribulation, if you know your prophecy. It's written to those folks that are alive during that seven-year period. We've found some of these that are that way. So prophetically, it's very difficult for us to apply this, but I want to make the application as we look at it, okay? The application is made for those who are in any position of supervising others. All right, that's what we're looking at. We're going to find this steward is one who is responsible for supervising others, not just a worker, not just a servant, but the steward was a ruler over the other servants in the house. And we'll talk about that as we look at that lesson. So that's the application. If you're in any position in the church, because it's talking about when the Lord comes back. Now, we could apply it, I guess, outside the church. But the application here is to a supervisor over others. And so let's look at this. In Luke chapter 12, notice verse 40 said this as he leads into it. "Be ye therefore also ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." Now, again, we can apply that verse to both Second Coming Part A, Second Coming Part B. And we don't have time to go back and reiterate all of that, but there are two parts to the second coming of Christ. And we can apply that to either one. We are to be watching. All right? Matthew gives us the same verse. "Be ye therefore also ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." We should be watching for the Lord's return. There is nothing right now that would hinder Jesus Christ from coming back. Now, personally, I think the world can get a lot worse than it is. You say, worse than this? Oh, absolutely. And the longer we live, the worse the world is getting. We like to say, well, as it was in the days of Noah. Well, you know, I was thinking about that this week. As it was in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Well, haven't we been marrying and giving in marriage for thousands of years already? So why does the Bible says marrying and giving marriage as a sign of the decadence of the days? Well, the Supreme Court might tell us that in just a few days here. All right? So that marriage and giving marriage, there's more to that than what we read in Noah's day, because we've been marrying and giving marriage for thousands of years. That doesn't mean the Lord's coming back. So it can get worse. And it might get worse. But the Lord could come back right now if He so chooses. And there's nothing, no biblical prophecy to prevent Him. So we ought to be ready, looking, watching, the Bible says, watching for Him to come in an hour that you think not. So we should be watching. Number two, we should be working. Now, this is not on our outline. This is our lead into it. We should not all be watching, we should be working. And here's what this passage is about. It covers the working as we go into the second coming. We're supposed to be watching, but we're not supposed to be watching sitting back doing nothing. We're supposed to be doing something for God. We're supposed to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ in some capacity. Not anymore. That doesn't mean a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, but in our lives, we're supposed to be doing something for God. Nothing else really matters, does it? I mean, we have responsibilities. We've got to live this life. We've got to provide for our family. We've got to raise our kids. I understand all that. But we need to be doing something for God. Now, raising your kids can be doing something for God because you're trying to raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. But that's what this is talking about. Our conduct, that's what we're talking about this morning, our conduct at His return. Again, we've emphasized this. God does not give us all of the New Testament prophecies. He does not tell us what's going on to satisfy our curiosity. We're not supposed to get puffed up with information saying, oh, Jesus is coming back, and just talk about, oh, He's coming back, and look at the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And there's folks that just get so hung up on that. It's not to satisfy our curiosity. It's to sanctify our conduct. Knowing that He's coming back, we ought to be living differently than those that don't realize He's coming back. And that's what we've got to find here. We've got a steward that realizes the Lord is coming back and a steward that doesn't realize. He says, my Lord delayeth His coming. And he acts according to what he thinks about the second coming. The one who believes the Lord's coming back is busy and active. The one that thinks he's going to delay his coming, his behavior reflects that. And your and mine behavior will reflect whether we really believe Jesus Christ is coming back. We can say it with our mouth all we want to. Our behavior will indicate whether or not we think Jesus Christ is coming back. So let's look at the conduct of His return here. Who's got the outlines? Brother Eric came in and didn't get one, if we've got extra ones somewhere. All right. Let's look at the conduct of His return. Letter A, the position. Letter A, the position. And we'll probably only get through A and B. Hopefully we'll get that far this morning. But the position. Verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? There is a position that needs to be filled. That position is the position of a steward. We'll talk about that position in a moment. But there's a position that needs to be filled. You know, folks, I just came back from a Bible conference at a good big church, what we would consider a big church. You know what they have? They have positions that need to be filled. I talk to a lot of pastors in fellowship, and we all come around the same thing. We've got positions in the church that need to be filled. Now, it's not usually the position of a pastor. That one's kind of occupied right now. It's not the position of a song leader. That one's got somebody in it. But there's always a position that needs to be filled, and the position that this steward is going to fulfill is not a glamorous position. It's not a glorious position. It's not one that gets a lot of attention. It's not one that gets a lot of notice. And you know what the Lord needs? The Lord needs people that want to serve Him in a position that's not glamorous, not glorious, doesn't get a lot of attention, doesn't get a lot of pat on the back, doesn't get a lot of notice, but folks that just want to serve Him. That's what God's looking for. And that's what the church, and I say our church, every church, that's what's in the church is in need of. Folks that want to do more than just sit. They want to serve. And so here we find that there's a position open. If you say, Pastor, what can I do? You come and ask me, we will find something for you to do. There's always something you can do here at Bible Baptist Church. All right, if we want to get active and do something that counts and matters for the Lord. All right, let's look, number one, the specifics. You know, when you apply for a position at any business, you're gonna want to know the specifics. What is this job? What am I supposed to do? And so let's look at the specifics of this position of a steward. Small letter A, the designation. The designation, we'll call that the job title. The job title, the designation is a steward. Notice in verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? That's the title of the position. All right, you go in and say, what do you want me to do? I want you to be the hamburger flipper. All right, you know what your position is. You know what your... I want you to be the sanitation engineer. You know you're emptying the trash. All right? But your title tells you what your responsibility is. This man is a steward. A steward is one who rules over a household. You remember back in Genesis chapter 15, God told Abraham he's going to have a son. And Abraham said, I don't have any seed, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. What did that mean? Well, Eliezer was the head of his household. He was his chief head butler, we can call it that way. His chief steward. His responsibility was to make sure the rest of the servants and the rest of the household all did what they were supposed to do and that everything ran good. That's what the steward is. He's a ruler over the house. Now we hear the word ruler and say, yeah, that's what I want to be. I want to be a ruler. Well, we got to find out how this guy got to be the ruler before he is the ruler. You don't start off as a ruler of the household. But the Lord is looking for stewards, those that can supervise and organize other people in the direction of serving God. So that's the designation, being a ruler or ruler. You remember Abbott and Costello? Some of you are old enough to remember Abbott and Costello. And you remember Abbott was trying to straighten out Lou Costello, and he said, I'm the boss, and you're nothing. You remember that skit? I'm the boss, and you're nothing. You got that? I'm the boss, and you're nothing. He says, yeah, I got it. He said, tell me. He said, you're the boss over nothing. All right, the steward is the ruler over the household. I mean, that's not really that much. It's not an elevated, it's not a glamorous position. But it's something that needs to be done. And folks, there are things that need to be done for the Lord. And we need to be willing to do them. All right, so the designation is a steward. Letter B, the duties. The duties. And again, that's the job description. The job title is a steward. The job description. What this person is supposed to do, the Bible says in verse 42, to give them their portion of meat in due season. So you know what the steward's job was in the household, among other things? To make sure the servants got fed. All right, that was his job. His job was to make sure he got with the cooks and the butlers and the bakers and everything else and got the meal scheduled and got it arranged and got everybody at the table. Again, not a big deal. Not a position that there's a lot of demand for, a steward of the house. But it is a necessary position. It's a necessary job. Now, Webster's dictionary defines the steward, and again, I'm talking about the 1868 dictionary, because that you look up steward now and they'd have no clue what that means. But the word steward, according to the old original dictionary, meant one employed in great families, of course that's big, larger, wealthier families, to manage the domestic concerns, superintending the other servants, collect the rents or income, and keep the accounts. So the steward was to take care of the mundane things. The thing that the Lord didn't want to have to waste his time and energy on. He could give that to the steward to do it, so the steward would take care of the necessary but mundane items. Again, when we're serving the Lord, it doesn't have to be a grand and glorious position. This steward's going to get rewarded for taking care of the mundane things. You say, Pastor, I don't have a lot of talent, a lot of ability. Neither does a steward. He wasn't the one that cooked the food. He didn't bake the desserts. He didn't have to have a lot of ability. He didn't earn the money. He just had to, disperse it. He didn't have to have a lot of qualifications to be a steward. And God is telling you and I, we don't have to have a lot of things going on. We don't have to have a big name. We don't have to have a reputation. We don't have to have talent and all that kind of stuff to be able to be a good steward for the Lord. And so here's the specifics of the job. His job that was the job title was steward. The job description was to give them their portion of meat, supervising others, taking care of those around him. All right, so any position that involves organizing others is the position of a steward. Now you say, well, Pastor, I don't have that position. Well, okay, that's fine. But recognize, this man didn't start out as a steward. We'll see that later. He started out as a servant, got promoted to be a steward. Because he was a good servant, the Lord made him a steward over others. Look back at Matthew chapter 24. Let's see this real quickly before we move on. Again, Matthew 24 is the other similar account, same account of this. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45. This same parable, Jesus began in verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Verse 45, Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household? See, this man started out as a servant. And the Lord, because of his faithfulness, made him a steward. All right? You and I might just simply be servants. We're doing something. We don't supervise others. We're not organizing any events. We're not taking care of stuff. Well, that's fine. Be faithful at that position of servant and see what God will do with you. See if God will not promote you. See if God will not bump you up. See if God will not entrust you with something further. The problem is you've got to start as a servant. And a lot of Christians never get to the servant part. They never get to serving the Lord. They never get to organizing. They never get to working for the Lord. They're saved. They're going to heaven when they die. And that's it. All right, here's a servant that became a steward. His designation is duties. Number two, when we talk about letter A, the position of the steward, or the position, we see number two, the selecting. Not everyone is qualified to be a steward. That's why we're all servants. No qualifications to be a servant. Anybody can be a servant. You know, back in those days, they bought the servant off the blocks. Not a lot to offer. All right? It doesn't take a lot to be a servant. And yet, why aren't we servants? Why aren't we doing something? But now, if we want to be a steward, there are some conditions for that. Verse number 42 says, who then is that faithful and wise steward? All right, there are some requirements to being promoted from a servant to a steward. The first one is, small letter A, his character. His character, faithful. Who is that faithful and wise servant? You know, faithful's not a real big word, but it sure is a hard word. At least it seems like it's a hard word. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, that's not the verse I wanted. Where's the one I wanted? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. A faithful man who can find. You know, I hear that in our day, businesses are having a hard time finding faithful workers. You know, that's not the story of our nation 100 years ago. People wanted to get it. I mean, people wanted a job, got a job, were thankful when they got a job, showed up for their job, worked their job, everything was fine. But we don't live in those days anymore. And I know when I was in management, just for the little bit of time before I came in full-time to the church, you hired somebody and they'd work Monday to Friday, get their paycheck on Friday, and that was the end of them. Or some of them wouldn't show up Monday morning. They might roll in about Monday at noon or maybe on Tuesday, and that didn't last long because they didn't have their job very long after that. But it's hard to find folks that are faithful. And can I go back to this? It doesn't take talent to be faithful. It doesn't take ability to be faithful. It takes self-discipline. It takes character. All right? And that's the thing. When the Lord is looking for a servant that he can make into a steward, he's looking for faithfulness. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that thou hast learned among me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. We take attendance at church. You probably don't even know. Well, you must know that because it appears in the bulletin every week. But Brother Eric's son Grant, during our shaking hands or during the song, will come back and he'll count folks here. You know, it should be the same number every week, shouldn't it? Wouldn't you think? I mean, if you go to the job on Monday and there's 10 employees, how many employees do you think will be there? There should be 10. Should be 10 every single day. So why is it at church there's 96, there's 123, there's 87, there's 147, a faithful man who can find. All right, God's looking for faithfulness. God's looking for faithfulness. There's no other area of our life that we can be unfaithful and get away with it. And so when God's looking for a servant that he can make a steward, God's looking for one thing, faithfulness. And again, I'm going to say this is going to sound rough. A moron can be faithful. Doesn't take a lot of brain capacity. It doesn't take a lot of high IQ just to be faithful. Now, that's not saying we're morons. You know what I'm saying, that. But it doesn't take a lot to be faithful. You go into some churches and you'll meet somebody that is, we used to say retarded, and I don't mean that in a bad way, mentally challenged. You know, I go up to Toledo every year, and there's a fella, his name is Steve, of all names. He sits down the front row. He's probably my age or a little bit older than that. He's there every time I go there, and his elevator does not go to the top floor. It's just that simple. He's a nice guy, a good guy, but I heard him, he was in the bathroom telling jokes. He told somebody, when God was giving out brains, I thought they said trains, and I missed mine. And here's a guy that, you know, has some, but he's there all the time. It doesn't take a lot of ability or brains to be faithful. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe we got brains, so we don't think we need to be faithful. But here's if he's going to be promoted, he's got to have character, faithful. Letter B. Not only character, again, if all it takes is faithfulness, you can put somebody in charge of something who has no clue what to do. No idea how to do it. I mean, you don't want to take somebody that's simply faithful and make them the treasurer. They can't count money. You know, it doesn't. Is that a nickel or a quarter? I can't tell the difference. You know, faithfulness is not enough. You've got to have some capability on top of that in any position. We've been teasing Ginger and saying, I could play the piano. I can do the choir song as long as they can sing along to Chopsticks. It's the only thing I can play on the piano. So as long as the song goes along with the tune Chopsticks, I can play piano. All right? Faithfulness is not enough. You need some capabilities also. You have to have the ability to do something. And what is the capability that God's looking at? What is the foremost capability? Not the character of faithfulness, but the capability. What does God want us to have more than anything else to be a good servant of His? Well, it says, who then is that faithful and wise? Faithful and wise servant. There's the catch. God wants us to have wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Can you see why this guy's getting promoted from servant to steward? Because he's faithful and he's wise. I think of Joseph in the Old Testament. I think of God taking him from the prison to Potiphar's house to Pharaoh's palace. Why? Because he was faithful and he was wise. And that's what God wants us to be, faithful and wise. Not smart necessarily, not intelligent, not good looking, but he wants us to be wise. There's an unusual combination, isn't it? Faithful and wise, and that's to be our goal. That's to be our desire, that God would look at us and call us faithful and wise so He can entrust us with something that He would want us to do. So He's looking around and looking among His servants and wanting to find someone He can make a steward, and He finds one, and He makes him Lord over His household. In Exodus chapter 36, you need not turn there, but as we're talking about the capabilities of wisdom. In Exodus 36, the Bible says, wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary. Wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary. When God was telling Moses to establish the sanctuary for people to come to worship, He said, I want people in there that are going to be faithful. They got to be there. And I want them to be wise. Later in the chapter it says, every wise-hearted man among them wrought the work of the tabernacle. The sanctuary, and then inside the tabernacle. Wise-hearted men. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. We need wisdom to be faithful stewards of God. Our wisdom shows our faithfulness. These are character traits, capabilities, but do they not show on the outside? Doesn't faithfulness show? Doesn't wisdom show? We show when we're not wise. It comes out of our mouth. And so God is looking for someone that can do these things. Not just character, but capability. All right, that's letter A, the position, verse 42. Then quickly, letter B, the promotion. Verse 43 and verse 44. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. All right? We've already seen that God has has looked for this servant and found a servant that is faithful and wise and made him a steward. Now, he's been bumped up a little bit, but that's still not that great a position. He's the ruler, the boss over nothing. So it's not that great. But then the Lord says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Now we're talking. Now we're not just talking about the ruler over the domesticated servants of the house. We're talking about being made a ruler over everything. The Lord, that Lord entrusting that servant with everything he's got, and he says, blessed is that servant. All right, that's the promotion. That promotion is based on his behavior and his performance. Promotion based on behavior and performance. Isn't that the way the secular world works? You know, they get their pattern from the Bible. Based on behavior and performance. There's a guy that can perform, but if his attitude and behavior isn't right, they're not going to promote him. There's a guy that's got the right attitude, the right behavior, but doesn't perform, they're not going to promote him. So the two things go hand in hand. So here's the promotion. Number one, the cause for the promotion. Number one, the cause for the promotion. In verse 43, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Look at those words, so doing. That takes us back to that word faithful. When the Lord comes back, he finds him doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's faithful, he's consistent, he's committed to what he's supposed to be doing. And that's the key. That's what the Lord is looking for. Someone that's faithful, someone that's consistent, someone that's committed. When he cometh, he shall find him so doing. There's that verse back in the Old Testament, or in Timothy, that says, ye did run well. I wonder how many headstones in the cemetery of believers, if God could come down and etch something in it, he'd etch those words, ye did run well. You served God good for a while. You had all the actions and attitudes and everything was great for a while, but you did run well. What did hinder you? That's what that verse goes on to say. So here's a man that's going to be promoted because the cause is he's being faithful in what he's been entrusted to do. We talk about delegating authority. Isn't it nice when you delegate to someone you know they're going to do what they're expected to do? Isn't it a mess when you delegate to someone else only to find out later they didn't do what they were supposed to do? That makes your job twice as difficult. The Lord here has delegated to the steward his responsibilities. When he comes back, he wants to find that the steward has been faithful in what he's done. And if so, he's going to promote him and make him Lord over all that he has. But if he comes back and finds that steward has not been faithful, he's not going to be promoted. We'll find out next week. He's going to be punished. Because the Lord is going to be disappointed in him that he did not do what he was entrusted to do. There are going to be a lot of Christians, folks. A lot of saved, born-again people at the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to face some embarrassment because they did not do what God entrusted. We did not do what God entrusted us to do. We might have run well. Sometimes we never even got started. But we've got to finish our course. Keep the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know why Paul said that? Because he ran the race to the end. He didn't quit on serving God. All right, so the cause is, when he cometh, he shall find so doing. Number two, we've had this word already, the character. The character of the promotion. In this world, when we get promoted, we're thinking of one thing. How much more money am I going to get? Now, maybe secondary will be cutting back on hours, health benefits, something like that. But basically, when we're talking about promotion, we're talking about how much of a raise comes along with this promotion in the job. Can I tell you that would pale in comparison to the Lord's reward when he gives a promotion? I can tell you this, in the Lord's work, when you get promoted, you don't get any more money for it. If you're a member of the choir and the choir leader for some reason retires or moves on or can't be here, and we look into the choir for somebody that can take his place, and you take the place of the choir leader, it's a volunteer position, so you just went from volunteer to singing to volunteer to leading. You didn't get anything for that. In the Lord's work, promotion does not mean money. But you know what it does mean? And I like that word, blessed. That's the word in there. Verse 43, blessed. Blessed is that servant. All we have to do is give to God faithfulness. He gives to us blessing. Now, blessing does not necessarily mean material wealth or material things. You know when you're blessed? When you've got the peace of God in your heart. You know when you're blessed? When you know you and God are on the same page. You know when you're blessed? When there's nothing between you and God and your conscience that disturbs your fellowship. That's what being blessed is all about. Blessed is not having a new car and a new house and a full bank account and all the bills. That's great. But that's not what God is talking about when He says blessed. There are a lot of folks that got all those things that are not blessed. Not blessed of God. They're blessed in the world's goods and all that kind of thing, but there's no peace with God in their heart. No peace of God in their heart. And yet this servant that's found faithful in doing everything, you know why he's blessed? Because he's got a clear conscience before God. He's not going to stand embarrassed saying, Lord, I did nothing. I earned no crowns. I got no rewards to lay back at your feet. This steward did his job. The character, blessed is that servant. God rewards faithfulness. God rewards faithfulness. Folks are laboring for so many other things. God says, I can make you blessed. Number three, the certainty. The certainty of the promotion. Verse number 44, the Lord says, of a truth I say unto you. Of a truth, there's that phrase. Of a truth I say unto you. This is a promise of God. A promise of God is a certainty. There are not a lot of certainties in this life. You say, well, there's two things certain, death and taxes. Well, one of those is certain. It's appointed unto man once to die. The other one, some people have beat it and got away from it. But nobody's ever beat death. But there are some certainties in the Bible, and the Bible says, of a truth I say to you. You know what that says? God is going to reward that faithful and wise steward. So your goal and mine ought to be a faithful and wise steward. It seems... Folks say the Bible's so hard to understand. No, it's not hard to understand. It's hard to grasp. That all God wants you to do to be blessed and be promoted in the afterlife, not to the afterlife, but in the afterlife, to be promoted is to be faithful and wise. Oh, but I need this and I need that and I need this and I need... No, faithful and wise. We can stand there and argue with God at the judgment seat of Christ and say, well, Lord, I thought you wanted me. No, I wanted you to be faithful and wise. It all boils down to two simple things. Everything else comes from that. So the certainty, because of those things, of a truth I say unto you. Then number four, lastly this morning, the chore. The chore. He will make him ruler over all that he hath. Here's the man that's been taken from being a servant to being a steward. From being simply a worker in the household to being a ruler of the household. And the Lord says, I'm going to take him not only from a servant to a steward, but a steward, I'm going to reward him and make him Lord over everything that I have. Now that doesn't mean that in serving God we're going to get to rule a household. But it does mean we're going to be rewarded according to our faithfulness to God. Our faithfulness to God. We can be faithful to everything, but we have a hard time with faithfulness to God. He will make him ruler over all that he has. Be faithful in a lower task, and you will be given a higher task. Be faithful in the little things, and God will make you... But you know what? We live in a society that wants to start at the top. You know, they come in for a job application, you say, you know, well, here, we want you to start flipping hamburgers. No, I want to be the manager. Well, you've got to work here a while before you... No, I want to start right there. I want to start with the benefits and the pay. And so they don't go out and work because they want to start at a higher position. You know what I've found works? And I found this by practical experience. Do anything anybody wants you to do and let God take care of it from there. And God will take care of the promotion, whether it's in the secular world or the spiritual world. God will take care of that. If you're willing to go in and get yourself dirty. I remember when I started down at Famous Supply, where I worked for 13 years. I started with manpower. They don't even call it, now it's man camp. They needed somebody to come in and tear down shelves. I was a little bit younger back then. So I went in there and they said, we want these shelves taken apart. Okay, I'm like, is it Linus in the Snoopy characters that always walks around? One of them walks around with a dust ball around him. Which one? Who is it? Peanut? Pigpen. Okay, Pigpen. See, I'm a real Snoopy guy there. Pigpen, that's the way I am. If I do anything, I'm going to get dirty. I never wear, Brother Gary's got a white suit on back there. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. I'll go eat lunch after this. It'll be ketchup all over it, and there'll be grease or something. I don't wear light colors because if you can. So I went in there. They said, tear down these shelves. All right, I tore down. I went to work. I tore them down. I got them. They had, two of us were there at the same time. The other guy, every 15 minutes, was going out to take a smoke break. I just stayed in there and worked. It wasn't unnatural. I ended up, long story short, a lot of change, ended up being a manager of that place for a while. Not because of faithfulness. Because of faithfulness and because of willingness to work. You don't start at the top. You start down here. You know what God's looking for? Those that are willing to have a servant's heart and just do anything they can to serve God. Then God will take them and make them a steward over His household. And that's what we're looking for here at the church. Some folks that could be entrusted to oversee and supervise others. What do you have to be? Faithful and wise. And then God says, in one of these days, I'll take that person and make him Lord over. We've got another passage, 5 cities, 10 cities, the inheritance for serving God. A reward for serving God. Should we get a reward for serving God? We're not going to hell. Do we need any further reward? That ought to be enough. And yet he gives us a reward, that faithful and wise servant. Now next week we'll start in verse 45 down to verse 48. You don't want to read those verses because that's what happens is that wise and faithful steward becomes an unfaithful and unwise steward. We'll look at that next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, how rich it is and how full, how instructional. God, we don't wrestle with the information, we wrestle with the practice.